Good morning once again. It's always a privilege to share God's word. And as we do this morning, I thank God for this opportunity of doing so. This is what we call Christ the King Sunday. In Lutheran churches around the nation, the country, they will be celebrating this day in honor of Jesus as a king. And I have a question for you to begin. Do you know of any king? Can you relate to a king? Well, I do have one that you might know. Can you relate to this one? Burger King. Perhaps that's the only king that you know. In light of sustaining you as you go through the line to get your Whopper and so on. So really, this is an indication of the terms of understanding certain power, certain reality. What Burger King is saying to you and to me is that the burger is the top, right? Top of the line. That's what you need. That's, the Whopper is the one that's going to ruin your lunch. So do that in the sense of honoring the king. I don't know where the guy is from. Simply, you go, and you can have a free one, by the way. If you get your children's meals. The reason I brought this to your attention and to my attention is the fact that as we talk about Christ the King, there is perhaps a reality that we do not get completely in the way of seeing him as the King of Kings, a personal reality in our lives. So this morning, I'm going to try to help us to understand those dynamics of calling Jesus the King of Kings. And again, this is really a Lutheran reality. It's part of the annual celebration of the church. And perhaps this is in the calendar of the year, this might be the last Sunday in the way of extensions of the liturgy. But this is what I know. In verse 3, as you read in chapter 23, Pilate, and by the way, this is a text that we use, was used partially back in April 18, I believe, when we had the Good Friday service. So this is a particular text for Good Friday. Not Advent, not Thanksgiving, not Christmas. This is crucifixion day in the life of Jesus. And all this language of the kingdom of God start by a question that Pilate asked Jesus. When Pilate was interviewing Jesus to get a sense of who is this guy that's in front of me. So Pilate approached Jesus and just to figure it out, because Pilate perhaps heard about this Jesus and who he was and how he came in the name of God, and he was talking about the kingdom of God in many ways. So people were saying, he's the king. And that spread out into the community. So Pilate asked Jesus in verse 3, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews? To what Jesus answered, my kingdom is not from this world. As we read in John 18. My kingdom is not from this world. And he went to explain to Pilate about, if my kingdom was from, it was a different dynamic, a different conversation. So as we come to this point in reading the scripture, we are told that carrying his own cross to the Calvary, and the details about the crucifixion and how it took place, and this conversation of Pilate took place before all that. But the sense of him being the king, it was promoted by him, by Jesus himself, throughout his ministry. This time of reality, of explanation, my kingdom is not from this world. It will give Pilate an understanding that Jesus indeed was a king. Not like any other. A king that came to this world differently than the kingdom, than the king that perhaps Pilate and they knew. That was established in this entering conversation. Now, to make this point and the reality of, you know, Good Friday, the crucifixion, we might say, well, we talk about the crucifixion right here in the month of November. What is it all about? It seems stranger that in the last Sunday of the church year, we are again watching Jesus from the cross, or Jesus on the cross. Where all of us, or most of us, all of us are already talking about a conversation about Thanksgiving and Christmas and the gathering of the family and how we're going to be doing, what we're going to cook for Thanksgiving, and we're going to travel to different places. So that's the conversation that perhaps we already have in light of this particular moment. We're talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas celebration. We don't want to talk about crucifixion in the middle of these all activities. Why do we need to hear this gospel again? Why do we have to talk about it? Why do we have to go to the mountain where Jesus was crucified and revive or reveal all that reality that Jesus took place? Why do we really have to do that? Maybe we need to hear it again because today, as we celebrate the feast of Christ the King, it becomes an invitation for you and for me to get to know this Jesus that we proclaim, the Jesus that we live in the way of celebrating who he is. And the question, are you the King of the Jews? From Pilate can be seen as a part of his personal interest. Now, and the other part of us as people of God, we might ask the question, are you Christ the King? Are you, Pilate asked, are you the King of the Jews? Now, you and I would perhaps ask the question, are you are Christ the King? Christ the King. And I believe that's the intention of us putting together this particular Sunday and the life of our church to revive the sense of who Jesus is part of leading us, giving us the instrument to be the people who are celebrating who he is. Let me ask you this question when we talk about Jesus being crucified and those dynamics that took place on Good Friday. What do you see as you watch Jesus on the cross? How do you respond to the King who reigns from the cross? How you see Jesus? The beating element of the Lamb that came to the world to save us from our sin. The crucified Lord who died on the cross of Calvary to give us a new reality, to cleanse us from our own sins. That's part of the reality of what this King is all about. He came and sacrificed himself so you and I can be called his children. He came to redeem us. Humbly on the cross. When I see Jesus on the cross, I see salvation. I see a new reality. I see you and me walking with a victory that was established right on the cross. And that is a kingship that I will celebrate. Jesus was a king, but he was not a typical king. He was a servant king. The symbol of this kingship or this kingdom is the cross. And for the apostles and those who followed Christ, when they got the sense of who this person of Jesus Christ is, they declare that the cross means everything. That what he did on the cross means that he established a new reality of the kingdom of God within us. He declared himself, when he came to the two people, the disciples, and do his ministry, he came to serve others. The expectation from the disciples were, Lord, you come to establish a new reality, a new kingdom, a saving kingdom, a military kingdom, something that will transform the system, something that will bring up a new dynamic of hope. And he said, no, my kingdom is not from this world. I come differently. I came to give my life to rescue yours. You see, I'm not seeing too many kings offering that to anybody. He came to serve and to die on the cross. And right on the cross of Calvary, you know, when the criminal that was beside him asked Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Where did he get that idea? I don't know. He simply heard about Jesus doing ministry. He was perhaps touched by the fact that this man was hanging over there and he was not complaining. Simply he was dying and he was asking God to forgive those who were doing what they were doing on him. Perhaps he was touched by simply saying, wow, this guy is completely different. He's not just a king, he is my savior. So Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, what? You know it. This particular moment, in this instant, you will be with me where? In paradise. Not tomorrow, not after breakfast. It's going to be right in this moment. That is a reality that he is proclaiming to be. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This day, not tomorrow, not the end of the age, but today. That is a king that I will come every single day to ask for forgiveness. Because I know that he's going to forgive my sins. And daily when we proclaim his kingship, we had to base it in the fact that he is a king that spoke from the cross the victory of hope, the victory of new life to the criminal that was right next to him. He was able to relate to what this man was going through. And today, my dear brother, you're going to be with me. We're going to walk together. We're going to enter into to God's kingdom. You see what's taking place here? This man was saying, I do not deserve all this. But perhaps, remember me, if you wish. And Jesus offered him everything in that particular moment in his personal life. Jesus Christ is a king who suffered and died on the cross for you and for me, so that we as people of God identify with him when we were baptized. We die with him and we are alive with him. We might live in him. Jesus is the king that came to promote peace, reality of a new life, loving enemies, and proclaiming the reality of a new sense of system. Jesus is a king whose throne is a cross, and through whom we have a new life. This is what we know about who Jesus Christ as a king is. He's a saving Jesus and a suffering Jesus, a new Jesus. The dominion of Jesus is based simply in the fact that he is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. His kingship doesn't change. It's eternally established for you and for me. So the question that we should ask to ourselves is this. Are you ready to make Jesus your king? Are you ready to make Jesus your king? Can you name him as the ruler of your life? This is Christ the King Sunday, the end of that church year. And when we come to the end of in December, we make resolution for the next year, right? That's part of who we do. No, we're going to do this in 2026. I'm going to lose 20 pounds, and I'm going to eat better. I'm going to walk more. So we make some resolutions that will benefit perhaps. But you know, some people come and they do that in January. I come February, we forgot about it. So this is something that we will work on together. Let us make God be our God with us. Let God be in our church, to let God to be God in our neighborhood, to let Jesus be our supreme king in our lives, in our families, and in our world. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our King. We thank you for your love and your care. Bless us as we continue worshiping your name. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.